Hey there, Aaron here, esteemed editor of the Disability and Progress podcast, and I just want to wish you a disclaimer before this week's show. This is a rerun from October 15th, 2020, which just happened to be in the midst of our fall membership drive. We are not in the midst of a drive, seeing we had a recent successful one. So, your money is always welcome, but we're not in a drive right now. It's only a repeat. Now cue the opening theme.
Good evening. This is Disability and Progress. You're tuned to KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Charlene Dahl, my research team, is actually with me. It's about time. And joining us. And tonight, the topic, blind golf. No, not the golf ball, but people that do it are. And we'll be talking about that. We're with Kurt Jones. Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
Hi, Charlene.
Good evening, everybody.
We haven't heard that voice in a long time. And we do have, it is a special night besides blind golf, talking about that. And besides that, it is National White Cane Day. Everyone, did you know that?
Yes.
Kurt, did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
It is. It totally is. So pet your cane a couple times because, you know, your cane doesn't have four legs. And it is pledge night. So this is pledge night. And we have this week and next week. And we're, you know, kind of calling on you guys to be our support network as we've been here and been your support network during this COVID time. And we'll keep being your support network, but we need some support from you in a monetary form. And would love to hear from you at kfai.org. It really is important. We do exist that way. And we do try to bring you information that is worthy to your environment and your, you know, you in general. Even if you don't do it, it's valuable to be educated and know about it, right, Kurt?
That's right.
Charlene, is there anything more you want to say before we carry on? Charlene?
Huh? What? Sorry.
Anything more you want to say before we carry on?
No, we just need everybody to listen to us. And if you can spare a dime, drop it because we sure need it to keep going.
This is KFAI.org. We're on Disability and Progress. And let's start out by... So, Kurt, thank you again for joining us. And I want to talk about your history because, you know, blind golf is a sport, but you are not new to, quote, blind sports. I'm not sure what other, you know, blind sports. It's kind of weird, but it is the insinuating that you are blind and these are the sports that you're doing that are specific to your disability.
Right.
So talk about your history with blind sports and how you went from there to get involved with golf.
Well, my first introduction to any blind sport was probably beat ball, which I started playing about 1980 or so. I played for the Minneapolis team BSF, which stood for Braille Sports Foundation.
Ah, yes, I've heard of them.
Yes, and it was a fun bunch of guys and gals. We'd play, and we'd go off on tournaments around the country. And different national tournaments and this, you know, like that. And from beat ball, I got into goal ball for a little while, but that's a hard game to.
That's a brutal sport.
It's brutal. It's
that gives brutal. You some bruises.
Especially when they went from not playing on mats to just playing on the.
Oh yes, the hard floor. Hard floor.
And I only did that for a little while. Well, actually, you know, before beat ball, I did a little bit of cross country skiing with Ski for Light for a couple of years. And then from goal ball and beat ball, I moved into darts, which I don't know is dart sport. I'm not sure if it is or not. But yeah, I did that for several years down when I lived down in the Twin Cities. You know, there still is blind dart league with, I guess we had five or six different teams in the league. And I did that for, boy, I bet you 7, 8, 9, 10 years, something like that.
And then you did it for more than that, didn't you?
Probably. And then after I retired, my wife and I moved up north here. We live up by Fergus Falls, Minnesota. And I had a friend of mine from high school, Perry Newis, came up one day for a couple of days. And we were just hanging around one afternoon. And we said, hey, let's just go out to a driving range for a while and, you know, hit a bucket of balls. So we never done it. So we went out to a local driving range and did that. And it went pretty well. And out of that, I knew there was a blind golf league. I didn't know how big it was, but I knew that there was a blind golf league, that they had blind, at least one blind tournament, national tournament. Mm-hmm. So we got online and we checked it out, and it was a lot bigger than we thought it was. And that was about 3 years ago, I guess. So we've
been doing it ever since.
And here we are today. So, you know, started going playing tournaments, and here we are.
Okay, so for me, I am a little bit golf dumb. but I presume I'm not the only one. So yeah. Tell me how, just barring the blind in general, how do you play golf in general? Just describe the game.
Actually, blind golf is not that much different than regular golf. We don't, the rules are all the same. The only difference is you have a coach that lines up your shot, you know, lines you up, and that's all he does. He'll tell you, like, you know, how far the shot is, you know, 100 yards or whatever.
But when you're on pretend I'm you're introducing me to the golf game. So how do I know how far is it? Like, how many holes? I do know you have to hit this ball into holes.
Well, you have to know a little bit about the game if you're going to play it. So, is it an 18-hole course? Is it a 9-hole course? What par you're playing? Par means how many shots you should be able to get that ball in the hole. Like, par 3 means you should be able to get that ball in the hole in three shots. And it's usually about 150 yards, 200 yards, something like that. Par 5 is a lot further. A lot of times it's around 400 yards. You got to learn a little bit about the game if you're going to go out and do it. I didn't know a lot about it until we started. I admit, I didn't know all the rules and the terms and stuff like that. I'm still not, I don't know if I know them all yet, but,
how many irons do you play with?
Oh man. I think I have four or five irons, about 3 or 4 woods, a driver, a putter.
I don't even know the difference between those.
There, I got numbers on them. An iron is a totally different kind of club than a wood. I mean, That's where the coach comes in too, where he'll say, you probably want to use a 7 iron here, you know, because you want more loft. And the number means how the club is, what's the plane of the club. So you want to get more loft out of the ball or whatever.
Like
a pitching, you want to chunk it up there onto the, if you're maybe 30, 40 yards out, you just want to kind of chunk it up onto the green.
Are there obstacles that you have to ever throw
it over? Oh yeah, there's water, there's sand traps, there's tree. You know, there's long grass, there's, so yeah, there's always something in the way.
And so generally you play with how many? You play with, you said
four 20 clubs? Or seven?
Yeah.
Well, I probably am in my golf bag. I think I have about, I don't know, 9, 10 clubs, something like that.
And do they stay good for a long time? Do you, how often do you have to replace them?
And you bust them in half, but yeah, but generally, yeah, they pretty good. I'm serious. I have never seen it, but I've heard stories where guys have taken their whole set of golf clubs and just thrown them into a water. There's something that gets so mad at them.
Oh, you know, and it's,
can't blame the tools, you know?
Yeah.
But it's one of those games that's so, it's a lot of fun, but it can be very frustrating. And I had someone ask me one time, why do you pay money to get this frustrated? You know, but it's fun. But, you know, again, the clubs you can, you know, are themselves, you can, I mean, if you were just starting out, I sure wouldn't go buy get an expensive set of clubs, because you don't know if you're, you know, you can go to Goodwill or something like that and get a set of clubs for not much if you like it.
All right, thanks.
Kirk, tell us a little bit of history about the United States Blind Golf Association.
The Blind Golf, U.S. Blind Golf Association is 75 years old. We kind of wiped this year off last summer. We're not counting on really, because there absolutely nothing happened. You know, there were no tournaments. There was nothing because of Corona.
Oops. Who's playing with their mic? Okay, going.
It started right out of World War II, basically. Two of the big starters in the game were a guy named Joe Lazario and Charlie Boswell.
Uh-huh.
And they were, you know, they became blind too. And they came out and started playing golf. I'm not sure who started them, you know, gave them the idea or anything like that. But back then, one of the guys that was involved with it that helped get him going in this kind of thing was Bob Hope. In fact, one of the people on the board, Lynn Lazario, is Joe Lazario's daughter. And she, you know, she's told me stories of, you know, she's met Bob Hope and all these golfers back in the 60s, are, you know, Sam Snead and all the big guys that were on the PGA tours were involved, you know, helped get blind golf started. But it just, you know, became bigger over the years, now 75 years. And like I say, this last year, so this year we're going to celebrate our 75th year. Hopefully.
This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and we're KFAI.org. And we have Charlene Dahl and me, I'm Sam, and Kurt Jones, who's my spectacular golfer here. And I forgot to mention my engineer at the beginning of the show. My apologies. She is the awesome one who has been engineering so many of my episodes during COVID time, Annie Harview. And she has been doing that. So thank you, Annie. And we would, none of us would be here if it wasn't for you guys who listen and pledge. And that brings me to why, you know, every once in a while we need to do this and have a pledge show. And, you know, Kurt knows that we run, you know, we have a studio and that we have a lot of stuff and we need to keep it updated. And Kurt's interesting because Kurt's been in on this show, like, a lot of times.
Oh, I'm a partner.
Yeah, you're almost a partner. Yeah. Like at least 6 times, I think. I think I was counting as like, yeah. Kurt used to be involved in a band called Tamarack. So he came on the show with some of you older listeners who may remember that. Of course, My favorite person from there was Dave, but that's okay. Cause yeah. Huh? Yeah. Thanks. I'm sorry. You know, I love you, dude. And also your band played at the ADA celebration not too long ago. So
2015 or 16, something like that. Maybe 17. I don't remember.
Remember 16. I think it was 16.
Yeah, it was 16. I think. So, so that is, you know, he's been on several times and now he just keeps coming on. Well, just keep doing some fun things, Kurt, but we need you guys to
donate,
step up to the plate, donate. It's like taking the iron and putting the monetary amount through the web wires. And
you are really reaching for a golf analogy.
I am trying to reach for a golf analogy. Well, help me out here, Kurt. Come on.
And you're adding that wouldn't quite work.
Well,
taking ever and driving that radio station down the fairway.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
So all you have to do is go on to kfai.org and it'll be right there for you to make your donation.
So kfai.org, that's right. So easy peasy. And actually, it's even easier with the app. I will say that. If you have an app on your smartphone, it's very easy to do. So Kurt, can you explain, you started to explain a little bit of how blind golf is played. And you said, tell us a little bit about what the differences are and how you find your teammate or whatever you want to call him, captain. What
did you call him? I mean, there's three categories in blind golf: B1, okay. B2, and B3. And that they're all geared on your visual ability. If you're like, I'm a B1 because I'm totally blind. And then, you know, B2 and B3 are, you know, B3, you can pretty good vision, but not quite, enough to, just enough probably to get in trouble. And then there's B2 in between that. And B1s, like myself, are the only ones that have to wear dark out glasses when you play.
Okay. Just
where you are total. Again, it's you find your own coach usually because, you usually get a friend, a relative, or something like that is available whenever you, play a tournament or want to go out and play on your own. But the beauty of it is you don't have to have like I say, the coach I've used most is like my buddy Perry from high school. But if I want to go out and play golf around here, I can go take my son or my son-in-law or my daughter or whatever and go out and play golf. It's one of the blind sports that is so easy to meld into regular golf. My family, brothers and cousins for years held they get together one day, one Saturday every summer and have a tournament, between all of them. Well, I never played because I never played golf. So about 2 years ago was the first time that I was able to go up and participate in the, in this family tournament. That's the nice thing about it. You don't have to have special equipment. You don't have to have any special, course or anything like that. All you need is someone that'll help you line your shot up.
So, can you touch the ball?
No.
You nope. cannot, like, can nope. you at least feel it with your club, though?
You can do that. You can, but usually what happens is the coach just puts the ball wherever you're comfortable. It's usually about an inch. For me, it's about an inch behind the ball. And he just, sets the club down behind the ball. You can, because you can't move the ball at all.
Yes, correct.
And then he makes sure that I'm, not – facing the off, the wrong way. So he might say, turn to your left, turn to your right. And then he just steps out of the way and you're on your own.
Is there a special stance you have to use or that you tend to use?
Own stance or his own grip. Yeah, so no, there's no special, not to blind golfers, not, no. It's just, like I say, every golfer has their own stance.
Does, like you talked about B1, B2, and B3, do they ever cross play? Like,
oh, sure, yeah, okay. Yeah. There's also, there's two kinds of golf that we play. You can play stroke play, which is, count every shot, and you want to have a low score. And then there's Stableford, which I like to play, and that's where you, according to your handicap, and this gets a little complicated, but according to your handicap, and don't ask me what mine is because it's embarrassing. But,
but I promise.
You want to get a higher score in Stableford. You have, say, or I suppose you're playing a par four.
Uh-huh.
You may have, and if you're playing stroke play, you should be able to get the ball in the hole in four shots, or maybe six. In Stableford, according to your handicap, you might be able to get two or three extra shots on that par four. So you might you might get six or seven tries instead of a stroke play would do. I mean, I don't play stroke play very much because I'm not that good yet.
So did you know that this was something you were going to like to do, or did you just kind of try it out thinking, I'll give it a shot, and if I like it, then I'll go and buy clubs?
I went out and just, like I said, we went out just one afternoon and tried it, and I said, well, this is kind of fun. Let's practice a little bit. Let's actually go out, and once we... And well, let me back up. After we did that, what I did is I went into our local golf course here and I talked to the golf pro and I said, hey, would you be willing to give me some lessons? And he said, sure. And so then that helped a lot. And then that's when I realized, hey, this is kind of fun. I could do this, I go out and play the tournaments. I don't play that great yet. But it's like we always say, you go out and you play and then you come back into the clubhouse and you have a couple beers and no one cares what your scores were. You just,
So comparatively speaking, like for the other sports that you've done, do you consider this hard, or is this kind of a easier than some of the other sports?
It's harder. I find it harder.
Why?
Because you're hitting a real little ball. And the terrain is always different. Sometimes, you're hitting at a slant where the ball is, below your feet because you're leaning down a hill, or it's above your feet.
The terrain.
Yep, and every course is different. I find golf harder than beatball. Beatball is easy. But what I like about golf is, whether you're 25 or 85, you can play. We have a couple guys in our league, or in the USPGA. I think of John Cassolo. He's 86 years old, and he's from, I think he's from Connecticut, and he still plays in tournaments. In fact, when I met him 2 years ago, he was 86, and he had just decided he couldn't downhill ski anymore.
Aww.
Oh.
Sad.
He just couldn't do it anymore. But golf is a game you can play, whether you're good or bad, it doesn't matter. You can play it all your life, if you want to.
Yeah, it's actually considered a lifetime sports activity.
Yeah. So what I told my grandson a couple of years ago, he was 8 or 9 then. I said, I know you don't believe this, but there's going to come a day when you can't play hockey anymore and play golf, learn to play golf. You go out there because golf courses were only allowing one person to a golf cart. Well, that doesn't do a blind person any good. So kind of the standard joke was, well, we'll just tie a rope on him. We can run along behind on a leash, behind the cart. So that was one of the problems with playing at the beginning of last year. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Okay. Well, I was just taking my own little break and Annie told me there's no more station breaks. So my bad. I didn't realize.
Well, may I mention One other thing, you were mentioning other sports that I totally forgot about it, but I also a few years ago got involved with hunting, deer hunting with a bow and arrow or a rifle. Uh-huh. And that's another thing that if a person, then I'll get into this a little bit with the golf too, but if they're losing their sight and they want to continue to hunt or golf, they can do it with special equipment for hunting anyway.
Huh. All right. Well, we need to take another little pledge break and let people know you're tuned to KFAI 90.3 FM and KFAI.org. This is Disability and Progress. I'm Sam Jasmine. Charlene Dahl's with me as well. Kurt Jones is with me as well. Annie Harview is my engineer. And we are in the midst of our pledge drive, and we are depending on you to support us and keep us going. And you can do that by pledging at kfai.org. Charlene, why should they do this?
To keep us on the air so we can keep talking about all these awesome things that people do with their disabilities. And also we share information that people need to know. And if we don't have the resources to do that, it's a lot harder to get reach people. This is a pretty easy way to meet. Now that we're on the web, we can talk to everybody all over the world.
That's true. And I have to say, you know, I think being COVID time is one of those things everyone is so sick about hearing about, but it is here and we are here and there really is no way around it. And it is what it is until we get out of here. So very important. We know you guys are listening to the radio, whether it's via radio or web or your iPhone or your magic speaker more than ever, probably because you're stuck at home more. And so that's a great time to pledge. So you can go to kfai.org or on your iPad, iPhone, computer, and please give what you can. So Charlene,
can't go anymore right now, so give some money to...
Yes, exactly. Give to me what you would give, you know, paying a tab at the bar. How's that? Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's a lot of money for some folks.
Well, hey, whatever works. And some people, it's like $20, you know, it's like, okay. So a little goes a long ways. Well, let's see. I think, Charlene, you were next on the docket.
Equipment. But is there a minimal or... you obviously, you've mentioned that there's... you can play golf as long as you can stand up and hold the club. But is there a minimum age for someone to join the United States Golf Association?
I'm trying to think now. Let me clarify that a little bit. If you have a guardian, say you're under 21, I think, and you could play if you have a parent or guardian with you at the tournaments. But also what we do around the country is usually with tournaments or without tournaments, a whole lot of junior golf clinics to get kids from different blind schools and communities, blind people in the communities, out to learn how to play. So that's a big part of our organization too, is educating people about it. And we don't limit it to blind people. Anybody that wants to come out and have a junior, play in a junior clinic. I've never put one on yet, so I'm not really, I don't know a whole lot about those, but we get a lot of success in those.
So explain what a golf competition would look like. Blind golf competition.
Like a tournament? How we do a tournament, you mean?
Yep, yep.
Okay, actually, we're going to have one up here in Fergus Falls. It'll be the first golf tournament in Minnesota.
Oh, cool.
That I know of, anyway. I don't think there's ever been one. July 19th through the 21st of this year, this next year. And what happens is, okay, that's I believe that's a Sunday through Tuesday. So people usually come in on Saturday from around the country, Canada. And they come in and, you know, usually the organization pays for your hotels and your meals. Some meals, not all meals, not all the meals, but some. And so you come in on Saturday, hang out. And then on Sunday, there's always a, say, the first day, there's always a practice round where you go out with your coach, go out to the golf course and just go out and play golf, you know, get to know the course a little bit. Mm-hmm. You can play all 18 holes if you want. You can play three if you want. You can play as many as you want. And then Monday, the game, the tournament starts, usually around 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And the 18 holes usually will go maybe 3.5-4 hours.
And how many people do you usually have that attend these tournaments?
Well, at our nationals last year, I think we had around 40. That was out in Las Vegas. I've been in only three tournaments because of this last summer, everything was canceled. I played in, three tournaments, Arizona in April, a year and a half ago. And I think there were about, I think there were about 35, 38 players in that one. And then we played, out in New York at the, for the Guiding Eyes Dog School. They have a fundraiser, and they bring if you're involved with the board or the any, you know, kind of organizing the golf thing, they invite you out and you play for a couple of days out there, and the money goes toward they bring in all kinds of people from New York, with a lot of money, and they play to raise money for the Guiding Eyes Dog School. Then I played in the national tournament down in Las Vegas last September, I think. Yeah, September. And then everything just shut down after that.
Charlene?
No, that's for me. Huh?
What? No, it's your turn.
So I want to know, is there a Hall of Fame for blind golf?
Yeah. Yes, there is a blind golf Hall of Fame. And sadly, my name is not there yet.
Well, you've only been doing it, how long did you say, 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
Well, geez, dude.
I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about it. We're going to have there's a Hall of Fame trophy, and hopefully if we play, you know, this next year, they're going to have the Hall of, we're going to have into the Nationals in Florida, and then the next day or so, you know, out in St. Augustine, Florida, and that's where they're going to, I think they're going to do some Hall of Fame stuff out there for that.
Gotcha.
You got to be a really good golfer to be to get on that, you know, get involved with that.
Well, there's still time. There's still time. So you're part of the board, right?
Yes, I'm a board member.
And so what are your responsibilities as far as being on the board?
Organizing, help organize tournaments. Redoing bylaws like every organization. We, you know, have elections for board members. Keeping our website up, keeping it looking good.
How many people are on the board?
Let me think. I think there's 8 of us. We got myself, and then we have a gentleman from New Jersey. Somebody from Massachusetts, Nashville, San Francisco, Atlanta, and Oregon.
Wow.
And Florida.
And so how long is your guy, do you guys, like, is your term? How long is your term?
3 years. This year, you know, we're adding an extra year in because we're not having a national meeting or, you know, organization. Right. Because we usually have those at the Nationals, And that's when the elections are held. So we're going to just put that off till next elections, till next year.
And how long can you keep being on the board? Like, could you stay on it for a long time, as long as people vote?
I'm not sure, but I believe there's no term limits or nothing like that. It's like being in the Senate, and there's no term limits.
God. Oh, boy. In everything, there's politics.
But I believe that if you're on there for two terms, you should get off and let somebody else get in. Let some new blood in.
Yeah.
If you leave the same people on all the time, first off, then nobody runs. And I think any organization, I don't care what it is, should have new members all the time.
Yeah. So can you play on any golf course with your coach? There's no, you've never run into any problems. Somebody saying you can't play like that.
I don't think anybody else has that I know of. I've played on 5 or 6 different ones, I guess. We've never run into a problem. Usually people are just kind of shocked that you're doing it. You know how that is.
Yes. Do you get a lot of comments when other people see you golfing?
Like I say, people are, ooh, I couldn't do that. What's fun is talking someone that is, totally sighted into putting on the dark cup glasses and then lining them up and saying, hit the ball, not to say that I hit it every time, because I don't either, but that's always kind of fun to do.
Do you have any women players?
Yeah, we do, and we're always looking for more. We have, I don't know how many we have in the USPGA, 3 or 4, I think, and we'd certainly like to have more. We're kind of on a campaign drive to bolster our membership, get more people involved, and younger people and women. And, because it's like any organization, you get a bunch of guys in over 60 years old, you want to keep the organization going. So you want to, get some younger people in there.
Yeah. The smarter gender, the better looking gender. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. They look better in golf shirts than we.
I'm just going to take a step in here and say, this is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, KFAI.org. This is our pledge week. So we encourage you and hope that you will go to KFAI.org, pledge what you can, and support the show, the station, and everything that you believe in. Now is an especially important time, politically and otherwise. So to keep us going, that's how you find out all about what's going on. Kurt, do you feel like you play at the same pace as sighted people?
Yeah, you do, because I think so. Because once you get the routine down with your coach, it only takes maybe a second or two to, jump out of the cart, line up your shot and go from there. And a lot of times, in tournaments we play what they call ready golf, is once everybody's driven off the tee, you go to your ball, and if nobody's in your way, you just take your shot. A lot of times in golf, if you're, you take turns, or if you're, closest, you get first shot, in ready golf, like we like to play, just to keep it going. If as long as nobody's in your way and you're not interfering with anybody else's shot, you just go ahead and take your shot with your coach.
How many golf balls do you usually go through?
Well, it depends on how many hats we have out there. you lose a lot. You lose some in water, my biggest hazard of what I hate is our sand traps. I hate them with a passion. So I'm no good at them once I landed one. And that used to be the only different rule in blind golf that wasn't in regular golf. If you go in a sand trap, the blind golfer can do what they call ground your club. You can touch the sand with your club, and I think you can now in regular golf too, but I'm not sure. But before it used to be they couldn't do that. They had to just swing at the ball and not touch the sand.
Charlene?
Oh, where are we here?
So how popular?
How popular is it with in the blind community, is it popular or is it people don't know about it?
In Minnesota, I don't think a lot of people know about it or have ever thought to get involved with it. And that's one thing one reason I wanted to do this show and to get more people involved. Because I know everybody out there, whether you're sighted, even if you're sighted, you know somebody whose uncle is blind or not even blind, but partially sighted, or, neighbor Jim used to be a good golfer, but then he lost his sight a little bit and he thought he couldn't do it anymore, but he could do it, or, Aunt Mary, whoever. So we really want to, stress that you know, even if you don't want to play in tournaments, just get out, get off the couch, and get out and play. It's a great social thing, not only on the course, but then, like I said before, you get done with the course, you go into the clubhouse and you hang out, and it's people realize that, hey, blind people can do stuff besides watch TV or read a book or whatever, which is nothing wrong with doing that because I enjoy both of them. But, get out and get some out doing something.
And why don't you talk a little bit once more about the tournament that's coming up in Minnesota and when it's happening?
It is, like I said, July 19th through the 21st up at Fergus Falls Pebble Lake Golf Course. If what I would really like if people are interested in joining the USBGA, they can go online, US Blind Golf, and just find the registration forms online there, fill them out. You have to get verification, I guess, whatever from a doctor saying what your sight level is. Then somebody, Sheila Drummond, she's our new person coach, or not coach, but
administrator person.
Yeah, her job is to contact new members.
Recruiter,
thank you.
Excellent.
And she would contact you and get you involved. And, I'd love to get about five or six golfers, from the Minnesota area up here playing in our tournament next summer. I think it'd be great.
Do they also recruit, like some people might want to do it, but they don't know anybody who would be able to coach them. Do they help with that?
Well, if you found, I think most people would be able to find a coach, a brother, a son, a daughter, whatever, a wife, husband.
Oh, I'm thinking about people in the lower economic situation where they might not, they've seen golf or they've heard about golf and they might want to do it, but they don't know anybody.
No, they don't know anybody golf. Who might necessarily be interested enough to help them. Something in the future that they could think about doing is, kind of having some on-call people.
If somebody, we found one person down in White Bear Lake now, and she is interested. So I've always said if somebody wants to play golf and it works out, I'd love to go out with them and show them how the game is played, how to do it, and my coach would do it, and just to get them introduced to the game, to begin with, and then see where it goes from there.
Cool. All right. Give your website once more for...
It is US Blind Golf, and all the information is on there that you need to know about blind golf. There's some videos. There's, I'm not sure what the history of the sport. I guess I don't know if I can do it. Can I? If somebody wants to contact me, they can. I'd gladly talk to them about it.
Go for it. You can give your contact. It'll be out there. So if you are okay with that, go ahead.
Fine with it. If they want to call me about golf, I don't mind at all. It's my name's Kurt Jones, and you can call me at 612-751-6591.
Give that once more.
612-751-6591.
All right. Well, Kurt, we really appreciate you being on. Thank you so much for that. We're going to have Annie come on and talk about pledging with us, but thank you very much for talking about blind golf. I think that's really important. And then we're going to go and we're going to talk about, we're going to play a little bit from our Beat Baseball. We did interview them in July, and we're going to play just a little bit by them. But first, Annie.
Hi, I'm Annie Harview. I have not been on air on this show before, ever, so...
You forgot to say, I'm Annie Harview. My disability and progress is spectacular engineer.
Yes, I'm disability and progress's best and only engineer.
For now.
For now. I've been working on this show for a handful of months. I started working on this show last summer. And... working with Sam exemplifies so much of why I feel like KFAI is important, and why I, since I'm able, give both money and time to the station. I think that KFAI brings such different programming than other public stations in the Twin Cities. The things that I learn on this station that are just on air routinely come from such a wide range of communities and viewpoints, and provide useful topical information from different perspectives that genuinely exist here in the Twin Cities. And I feel good putting my time and sometimes my money here at the station, because I know that it's going towards bringing information that people aren't getting elsewhere that they can use to go live better, more informed lives. And it's always fun to come do this show, because I never know what we're going to talk about. I'm never not surprised. it's always a good time. Well, I know the overview of the topic, because Sam will email it out on her email list, but I never know quite where it's going to go. And I always find out things that are interesting.
And to add that Annie is not only an engineer on my show, but she has her own show that she does. So hats off to you for putting so much time into something you truly believe in. And the listeners can do it too. If you're listening, you can hear me, and you should go to kfai.org and give us your support. Do you want to, well, thank you for that, Annie. Do you want to play the last bit of the Beat Baseball so people can rehear if they didn't hear? I also encourage you to go on the podcast, because I think this is on the podcast by now. But why don't you play just a little bit of it that they can.
Yeah. This is a really wonderful interview from earlier this year about another blind accessible sport, Beat Baseball.
It was developed by a telephone pioneer by the name of Charlie Fairbanks in Colorado, back around starting in 1964. The first formal team games were played in 1975 in Minneapolis, and very shortly thereafter, St. Paul. He developed the Beat Baseball for educational and recreational purposes. The game looked a little different then than it does now, but basically the ball was the same. It's a 16-ounce softball with a sound chamber in it that it emits a beep. And the bases back then were more traffic cone-like for children, But as adults tend to do, they saw a good thing and said, huh, we need to modify this game of an audio ball for blind children and turn it into a recreational sport for adults. So it took off and it came through Minneapolis and St. Paul and Chicago. But the telephone pioneers were very pivotal in the startup of it. And they were retirees from the telephone company. Well, not always retirees, but employees and retirees. And they have been very supportive of the game ever since, including continuing to manufacture the beat baseballs to support the sport. And they do that out of a volunteer organization in Denver, Colorado.
Excellent. So now I want somebody to describe, like, what beep baseball is. How do you play it?
Well, I'll try to describe as best I can.
Okay.
Beep baseball is a game with naturally two teams, and you have six players on each team. You have six on defense, and the batter is has the pitcher and the catcher, which is on his side, is on the offensive side. So the pitcher is trying to let the batter hit the ball, and there's a sequence to it where he says, ready, set, pitch, and once that happens, the batter swings the bat, and the pitcher tries to get the ball to where the bat is coming through so the batter can hit it. Once he hits it, it has to travel 40 feet, and he has to run to a base. There's two bases only. There's not three. There's a first base and a third base.
Oh.
Once, and the base is about, 48, 50 inches high, and he tries to get there before any of the fielders picks up the ball. If he gets to either of those bases, which is turned on, if he gets to the base, it's a run. And if the with the fielder picks up the ball prior to the runner getting to the base, it's an out. There are three outs to an inning, and six innings in a game. If either Jared or Janet could add to that, I you can do that.
Yeah, I think you nailed it home pretty good. And you know, as Janet mentioned at the beginning, as you mentioned, I guess, about Janet, she is a spotter, and so you know the spotters are in the field, and so they do call a zone to where the ball is hit. But the goal is basically just to get the ball off the ground, away from the body, before the runner gets to the base.
And what kind of sound do the bases make?
So the bases are a buzz, and the ball is a beep. So you can differentiate the two.
And is the ball a constant beep, or is it have intervals?
Yeah, it is intervals, but it always beeps until you put a pin in it.
I was just wondering.
The bases are activated by a base operator who's seated behind home plate with the scorekeeper, and it's a random. The batter doesn't know if they'll be running to first or third base. And it is activated on contact with the ball. A good base runner can run in between 4 and 5 seconds, the 100 feet down to the base. These guys can fly. And that's not a lot of time to hit a well-hit ball. As Greg mentioned, it has to go a minimum of 40 feet, but many, many hits go anywhere from 80 to 170 feet easily. The spotter is allowed one number one time, 1 through 6, but only that one number one time. Fielders can talk to each other as needed, and they often do, to assist in the, making the play. But there's a lot of on-the-ground body blocking. People aren't catching fly balls. That's a rarity in our sport. The base itself, I might add, is about a, it looks like a football tackling dummy thing. What do you call those? 8-inch round, 4-foot high cylinder implanted in a 1-by-1-foot foam cube that they run for and tackle in an effort to beat the fielder fielding the ball.
Jared, you thought you found an acceptable clip maybe for to hear what the bass sounds like. Let's see if we can do it.
Yeah, so if you listen closely, you can actually hear a pitcher's cadence as well as the hit and the bass.
Set, ready, pitch.
Yeah, so I did. So the ball has that beep, 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 and the bass has a steady pitch.
So yes.
A steady pitch, so you don't hear the breaks in that. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for that.
It was developed by it.
And that, our friends, was a beep baseball from earlier this summer. Now back to you, Sam.
This has been Disability in Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFEI's, but tonight they probably are. So please pledge. You may go to kfei.org. This is Disability and Progress at kfei.org. Thanks so much for listening.
KFEI.org.